Let's move on to our next thing. I'm going to invite Renee and Sarah to come on up to the platform. I'm going to introduce them to you and also kind of give you a little bit of an idea of what this morning is going to look like, because it's going to look a little different. We kind of have thrown them a little bit into the fire. We just skipped the frying pan right into the fire. Because one of the things that I've asked them to do is something that, quite honestly, is a little difficult to do. First of all, this is Renee and Sarah. They are the couple that is going to that is kind of candidating for our youth pastor position. It has been an absolute joy to have them here over the last couple days to get to know them, and I've obviously been able to get to know them over the last couple of months through interviews and phone calls and things like that. But it's really cool to have them actually here. It's neat to have the FaceTime stuff, but it's really special to have them here. And so what I've asked them to do is to obviously come to meet you, but also to share this morning. Now, here's the thing, and they kind of told me this from the very beginning, they really are a team. And so I didn't want to basically say, hey, come out and have one of you speak one Sunday and then stay the whole week and then the other one speak, because quite honestly, they got a wedding to plan for. They're getting married the first Saturday of August, August 4th. So, pray for that, obviously. That's a big deal. And so what I've asked them to do is really kind of tag team the message this morning. So Renee is going to begin, and at some point he's going to give a secret signal or say a secret word or password, or maybe he's going to give like a baseball sign or something. And Sarah is going to come up, and she's going to conclude the message. That way we get to hear them both share their hearts. They obviously are sharing on the same topic, so don't worry about that. But it's going to be a great time to hear them and hear their heart for us and hear what the Lord has laid on their heart. And so I hope that you've had an opportunity to meet them. If you haven't, please try to do that this morning. They're a great couple, and they're wonderful, and we really have enjoyed them being here with us. So at this point in time, Renee is the man. He's going to come up, and he's going to share, and then Sarah will come up and conclude the message. So Renee, are you ready? You're going to do a great job. So, Renee, here you go.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron. And it truly has been a joy to be here this weekend and get to meet Pastor Aaron and Emily and Easton. And they have been truly amazing and super welcoming. And they have loved on us well. And getting to meet some of you has been awesome. And please, if we haven't gotten to meet you yet, see us after service. We'd love to get your name and hopefully remember it. I can't guarantee anything. But, yeah. So this morning, I want to open us up talking about prayer. It's a word that everyone uses and knows about, even if you're an unbeliever. But what does prayer really mean? We throw prayer around so loosely nowadays, but I don't think we really understand the power and the blessing we have with prayer. Prayer is our way of communicating with God, to speak to Him and for Him to speak to us, to have that intimate relationship with our Father and God. Prayer, like I just said, I think it's thrown around so loosely nowadays. Whenever tragedy strikes or someone's going through a tough time, we just say, oh, I'll be praying for you. But do we truly mean it, and do we truly do it and believe the power behind prayer? So my hope in starting us off here is that we get a better understanding on prayer, maybe what prayer is, how to pray, so that we understand the power and the intimacy behind it. So first, I want to open this up. There's an expectation, for us to pray in Scripture. It's outlined for us in various Scriptures. I'm going to share a couple with you this morning. Colossians 4, verse 2 says, "Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18 says, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." And Romans 12:12 says, "Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, and be constant in prayer." So those three verses that we see, continue steadfastly in prayer, pray without ceasing, and be constant in prayer. So it's something we need to be in, it should be in the forefront of our minds always. Not when we have time for it, not when we feel like it. Because to be honest, even for me, a lot of times, I don't feel like sitting down and praying to take that time out of my busy schedule. But in Scripture, it's outlined as an expectation for us. I also want to point out that prayer does work. We don't pray to a dead God, but we pray to a living and active God. A God that hears us and listens to us and wants to turn all the bad in our lives for good. He's a good father who wants to bless us. And Jesus modeled this himself, a life full of prayer, taking time to be intimate with the Father. So we're going to take a look this morning at Matthew 6, 5 to 15. So if you'd like to turn your Bibles there, we also have it on the screen. So again, that's Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 to 15. And it says, "And when you pray, you must not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, that they may be seen by others. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you pray, do not heap up empty phrases as the Gentiles do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we have also forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses." Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this morning. I thank you that we can all be here and gather together and worship you and give you glory and honor. And just continue to grow as a family, Lord, family in Christ. And I just pray that the words I speak and the words that Sarah speak, that they're not of our own minds, but Lord, that they're your word. And Lord, that it's not what we say that sticks, but Lord, it's what you impress on our hearts and what you lay on our hearts. And I just pray that ears and our hearts will be open to what you have to say to us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So here in this passage of scripture, it's in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount, one of Jesus' most famous sermons and preachings. And so he's gathered with his disciples and a crowd has followed, and he's teaching them different things about anger, divorce, oaths, these different things. And right in the middle, he talks about prayer. And again, Jesus modeled his life after prayer. He took time to be separate, to be by himself, to pray to the Father and have that intimate relationship. When he went around healing, he prayed for people and he set the demon-possessed free and healed all sicknesses and diseases. And I think if, one, Jesus modeled his life after prayer, it's something we probably should do all the more. And if it's something that he preached about in one of his most famous teachings, I think, again, it's something we should take hold of and do. So here in Matthew 6, he starts off the prayer section with to not be like the hypocrites. The hypocrites in that day were the Pharisees. They would stand in front of the synagogues and on the streets, and they would pray, but they would pray loudly and obnoxiously to be heard by others, not by God, so that others could see that they were super spiritual and that it looked like they had it all together and they were righteous, but truly they weren't. Jesus tells us to go into our secret room and pray to the Father who sees in secret. Now, Jesus here isn't saying that we should only ever pray in our rooms, but he's saying that humility and prayer go hand in hand. We can't be prideful and praying and seeking the reward and praise of others. What we should be truly doing is humbling ourselves before God, God Almighty, who is all-powerful and all-knowing, but who wants to hear from us. And when we humble ourselves and go to him, he hears us and he rewards us. Jesus then goes on to say to not throw up empty phrases or many words like the Gentiles do. Because God hears us and he knows what we need before we even ask it. All we need to do is ask it. I think a lot of times, even I've been caught up in just praying the same thing over and over and over again, thinking it'll let me be heard by God. Again, Jesus here says, like, God hears us. God knows what we need before we even pray it. So we don't need to come up with fancy words or eloquent phrases or repeating the same thing over and over again, because God hears us. And then the next thing Jesus goes into is what we call the Lord's Prayer. And again, this isn't the only prayer we should ever pray. But I want to look at it as a good template and guide that Jesus gave us on how to pray and what to go through. So first, Jesus opens this up with, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name." So first, we see here that we pray to God the Father. We pray to our Father who is in heaven, seated on his throne. And we open our prayer with praising him and honoring him for who he is, and give him the honor and respect he deserves for being God. So before we go straight into giving our requests up to him, our needs, praising him and knowing who we're praying to. Psalm 150, 1 through 6 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty heavens. Praise him for his mighty deeds. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with trumpet sound. Praise him with lute and harp. Praise him with tambourine and dance. Praise him with strings and pipe. Praise him with sounding cymbals. Praise him with loud clashing cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." So here in Psalm 150, we see the phrase that's emphasized, praise the Lord. And here we see different ways we can praise him, through song, through instruments, praising him for his mighty deeds, praising him for how he saved us, for his excellent greatness. So again, giving him the praise and the honor he's deserving. Because when we go into prayer, as our first step, praising and honoring God, that helps us align our will with his will. And that goes into the next point Jesus brings up, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So again, this part, after recognizing we're praying to the Father, after praising him and giving him the honor he deserves, giving up our will, and that's not an easy thing at all. But recentering our focus and aligning our hearts with his and saying, "You know what, God? I'm coming. I have so many requests. I have so many burdens. You know, this day, this week, this year has been the hardest in my life. But before I do that, Lord, your will be done. What you want to see accomplished in my life and the life of those around me, let it be done." Proverbs 3, 5 to 6 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight." So again, trusting God with all our heart. It's not easy. I can tell you, standing right here from Pennsylvania, it's about 1,500 miles away. It's not easy trusting God, but his will is better than ours. His plans are higher than our plans. And once we surrender our wills, he makes our path straight. That doesn't mean we get the answers right away, but he makes our path straight and he guides us. So again, first we open up with praying to God the Father, praising him for how great and good he is, praying that our will, that his will be done, not ours. And the next, Jesus says, "Give us this day our daily bread." This is the part in the prayer where we give our request to him, where we give our burdens to him. But it says, "Give us this day our daily bread." Not our weekly bread, not tomorrow's bread, not the bread for the next month, but our daily bread. Trusting that God can come through for our daily needs. For any burdens, anything we're carrying, trusting God that he can continue with us day by day. Trusting and praying for what's happening in the now, and focusing on the troubles of today. Philippians 4, 6-7 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus." So again, here in Philippians, we see, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. So bringing everything to God. From the things we find that might be the smallest and God doesn't care, he cares about it. From the biggest thing and the biggest decisions, he cares about it. So giving everything up to him. And again, believing that he hears us and he's going to work for our good. The next step Jesus brings up is forgive us our debts as we have also forgiven our debtors. And again, this isn't easy. Jesus isn't giving us easy steps or easy things to do, because forgiveness is not easy. But here in this part of the prayer, making sure we're right with God and with others, seeking repentance, but also looking to forgive others. We can't serve well, we can't love well, we can't live well if we have unforgiveness and bitterness in our hearts. Now, forgiving doesn't minimize the hurt. Forgiving doesn't mean it just all goes away like it never happened. But I want to share two quotes with you this morning. The first is, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that that prisoner was you. And that was Lewis B. Smead. And the second is, to be a Christian means to forgive the inexcusable because God has forgiven the inexcusable in you. And that was from C.S. Lewis. And a little look into my life of the past year has not been easy at all. And I've been struggling with forgiving, specifically my father. A year and a half ago, we found out he was being unfaithful to my mom and having an affair. And that's been hard trying to navigate. That's a hard thing. You know, the man you look up to, the man who set that example for you in the faith, all of a sudden turns away. But that quote again, to forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you. And realizing like what he did hurt. It hurt my mom, it hurt me, my sisters, my family, others in the church. But if God has forgiven him and God's forgiven me of my inexcusable sins, why should I withhold forgiveness from him? And forgiveness is so big on God's heart that he includes it even in prayer. Early in the Sermon on the Mount, he brings up forgiveness and how to deal with others. So reconciliation, forgiveness is so big on God's heart. The last part of the prayer is, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Asking for the strength against the enemy, to keep fighting against the enemy and to stay strong in God's will. Because temptation will come. It's not an if, but it's a when. And Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus said this to his disciples right before he was arrested and then later crucified. He said to them, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And I wonder if they did stay up and pray and not fall asleep, would Peter have denied Christ? Would they have run away and turned away from Christ? And that's so true for our lives today. If prayer is so important in combating the enemy, because it's not a physical battle we fight, but a spiritual battle. Now that we've looked at how Jesus modeled prayer, we know who we're praying to and that there's an expectancy and command to pray. All that's left for us to do is to ask, seek, and knock.
Hi, good morning. Give me just 1 second to get set up here. So as Renee led us off with a beautiful understanding and expectancy to pray, we have understood that praying, it is essential. It is the very means of how we live this life as a Christian. And just like he said, if we're all being honest, we tend not to pray. We tend to look the other way because it's simple to depend on our own strength. It's simple to live in our own strength and think that we can do it all. It feels easier to not lean on God, and yet that couldn't be further from the truth. Jesus finishes teaching his disciples how to pray, and then the next chapter goes right back into prayer. He's not done talking about prayer, but goes into further detail. So let's read Matthew 7:7-11. And it says, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him? We have typically read this passage in Matthew 7, and we associate it with financial blessing. However, I think it's far greater than that. And I think we'd be minimizing this scripture if we just said it was about financial blessing. I think what Jesus is getting at is that there's an intimacy with God that can only happen through these prayers, through asking, through seeking, through knocking. And let's be honest, all of us in this room have prayed prayers that may have never come true. But it's because in the end, it was what was best for us to not receive. That out of his grace, those prayers that we prayed, we didn't need, that we didn't actually, weren't actually aligned with his will, but were things that we wanted out of our own will. Matthew 6 establishes how prayer is to be done and how it's to be done to the will of the Father. And as we pray for his will to be done, then we're also praying for our will to be undone. I believe that by God teaching us how to pray through this passage, that we should desire to align our thoughts and prayers and the things that we ask according to his will. If we are commanded to do these things, though, and we still don't do them, what does that say about us? If I'm being honest, I know my biggest downfall is I'm not the best prayer. And I can't stand up here and tell you that I'm the best prayer in the whole wide world and I can heal all these people and everything like that, because that wouldn't be me. And that's not prayer. That's not how prayer is in my life right now. But I've noticed that the background to why I don't pray, and probably why many of you struggle in prayers, because we don't understand fully who our God is. And for you today that haven't been praying and you prefer not to pray, what's behind that? Ask yourself, do you know full well and believe in the God that you serve? You may know things about God. You may have grown up in church your entire life. But do you truly believe that those things are true? In these two passages, we see how God is glorified. God's described in two different and yet beautiful ways. Matthew 6, which Renee led us through, God's name is to be hallowed. Hallowed meaning holy, meaning set apart. His name only is to be praised. And later on, it talks about how his kingdom should come, meaning that the God we serve is a king. Just like Renee said, he is not a dead God. He demonstrates just in Matthew 6, just in those two verses, that he is holy and he is king. He's a king who can do all, that he commands the armies and the soldiers will follow. A king whose name is set apart and holy, righteous. He can do no wrong. And so do we understand that the God we serve is the God that we get to pray to, the God that is holy, the God that commands the armies and everything to move, and the God that is actually putting that same breath that you're breathing right now in this room is the one you're praying to. It continues in Matthew 7, because Jesus also describes God as a father. And he compares it in the sense that fathers on earth give good gifts to their children. So why wouldn't God, our Father, give us good gifts? Our God is generous. And so this is what we know so far. If we recap it real quick, it would be that we have a holy king and a generous father. And yet when we pray, we seem to forget those things. He is a king who demands righteousness and is gracious and desires for us to serve him and bring all of our requests to him. 1 John 4:8, we see that God is love. John 14:6 says that he is the way and the truth and the life. Revelation 22:3 says that he is the Alpha and the Omega. Our God is a Father, a Redeemer, truth and life, and stands from beginning to end. This is the God that we get to have a privilege to pray to. And the sooner that we know who he is and who we're praying to, the sooner we are going to want to pray to him. So as Renee said, we are from Pennsylvania. We're from South Central Pennsylvania. It's a small county called Lebanon. And my family, I'm actually originally from New York City. I was born there. And my family moved to PA about 11 years ago, possibly 12. Sometimes I forget how old I am, if I'm being honest. But my little sister is actually one of the biggest reasons I could even really be here, because she brought me to the faith. And so Melanie is amazing, honestly. I can't really speak anything less of her. And so my sister Melanie, she's 19, and she just graduated high school last year. She was in college, and she took a job back at home at a Christian school. And she was teaching a long-term sub for, like, third graders. And at the end of the school year, she said to the kids, "How do you want to decorate the classroom?" And they had asked if she would start this prayer wall. And so she started this prayer wall, and it had a prayer request on one side and prayer answered on the other. And you guys all know how kids are. Sometimes the prayers seem so small to us, like, "Oh, I fell off a scooter and now I have this bump on my knee." Or, someone tagged me in the game of tag and I didn't want to be tagged. And sometimes it feels so small and silly. And then there's true things that they're still requesting God for, because they understand their Father. And so one of those things that really stuck out to me was one of the students went to the eye doctor and they said that we're going to do another test, but it's looking like he's going to need some glasses. And he's like, "I don't want to wear glasses, Miss Melanie. I really don't want to wear glasses. And I'm really scared. And all my family has eye issues," and so on and so forth. So he puts on Wednesday night the prayer request on the wall, saying, "I'm praying that I would not need glasses. I just don't want them." By the next day, after the doctor examined him, he said, "Your eyes are perfectly and completely fine." And it's in those things that we're like, how do these all get answered? Because it wasn't just him. Every single student that put a prayer request on this board, by the next day, in 24 hours, all of them were answered. And I think it's because these children know who their Father is, and they understand who their Father is. Our God desires intimacy with us. He desires to know us. He knows our needs before we even know them. And sometimes we don't persevere because we don't know or believe in the God that we truly serve. The section of ask, seek, knock, you'll notice those verbs are not passive. They are commands. We are to ask and we are to seek and we are to make our requests known. When we ask, the purpose is to show that we have complete dependence on the Father. We seek him and we seek our answers through his presence, through scripture, through surrendering to his will. And we knock at his door, sensing that maybe if the door feels closed, but we knock. We knock on a door, hoping it would be opened to us. We have received entrance into the palace of a king through prayer. That he knows the desires of our hearts and responds to our dependence to him. Like Renee said, our asking should be done in humility, but confidently, because we know and believe who we are asking from. We must pray true and real prayers. I think sometimes we pray prayers that we're not actually wanting. You know, like when you're sitting in a circle and everyone's praying and you're kind of like this and you're like peeking just like that. Sometimes I feel like that's how we are with God. We're like, is this actually going to happen? But no, these are real prayers that we should be praying, because he cares for your heart. Each individual in this room is cared for by a loving and generous Father. He cares for your heart And he wants to fulfill the desires that he's placed in there that align with his will. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying it's simple. When you feel that many prayers haven't been answered or are taking a while to answer, I understand that, because just like Renee said, I'm in this very church and we are standing here preaching, waiting on a prayer. We're waiting on not knowing what God has for Renee and I next, but being faithful that in this very moment we are completely content and know that he has us here in his sovereign will. We don't know what's to come, but we find ourselves waiting and praying for your true church community, for ministry opportunity, for a place to call home, and it's a prayer that I will sit on. And we wait for our God, who is generous, and our King and our Father to answer. And one day we know he will. I can pray and wait because this is what I know about our God. That there is goodness in the perseverance of prayer because God desires it. Matthew 7:9 points to how God desires us to have good things. That he knows good gifts greater than we do. We see that through the gift of our salvation, the cost was his son, and yet he gifted us salvation because it was what we needed before we knew we needed it. Romans 8:32 echoes it, and it says that he did not even spare his own son. So how much greater could he give to us? I believe there is importance in why Jesus echoes ask, seek, knock. Because in it, not only do we lean on him, not only do prayers get answered, but in it, we as believers, every individual in this room becomes more like him. In it, we learn more about who our God is. In it, we see the realness of our God. In it, we ask full well who it is that supplies for us, who it is that we're leaning on and depending on. As we seek him, we seek his character. We are drawn to him. As we seek him, we are promised we will find him. And lastly, knocking intensifies the ideas that we bring to him and the seriousness that we bring them to. I believe that we knock on the things that have been put on our hearts from God as we've surrendered to his will. That because we sought him, those specific requests would align with the word and his will for us. And so we knock and hope and pray, knowing full well only God can answer those prayers. We are expected to pray, like Renee said. We should want to pray. Because if you know who your father is, then of course you want to pray. It's like knowing your best friend. You want to talk to them because they're your best friend. If we know our God, then we're going to want to pray. Because as our needs get met, there is a God who already provided for our utmost and greatest need, which was salvation, given to us before we could ask for it. And this encompasses the heart of God, that he would give us our number one need, and from it, all of our requests and all the answers that we're seeking will flow from that. So in the next 30 seconds, I would just love if we could all bow our heads and get into a time of prayer individually and actually seek God and seek his presence in that very thing that you're asking for. If maybe what you're seeking is actually a true relationship with him, that you would do that too. I'll give you 30 seconds and then I'll close this in prayer. Father, we just come before you. And we acknowledge that you are holy, righteous. There is no sin, there is no flaw, there is no unholiness in you. And Father, we praise you because many of us have walked into this room with tired eyes and burdened hearts, and we have prayed many times. And we continue to trust that you are good, that you are our Father, that you are the King. Father, that when we worry, may we be reminded that you are still sitting on that throne. Father, I pray that the requests that have been made in this room be answered according to your will. That as we pray for your will to be done, that our will be undone. And Father, I pray for Broomfield Assembly. May your presence cover them. May your face shine upon them. May you be gracious to them. May they seek you more and more every day. May they know who their true Father is and not depart just because the whole world seems like it is. But may they stay steadfast and look to you and you alone as their God. We thank you, Father. In your heavenly and mighty and precious name we pray. Amen.
Thanks, Renee. Thanks, Sarah. As we kind of remain kind of in this attitude of prayer, I just want to remind you of something that this whole process, and for some of you, you know how long this process has taken, but this entire process has been really God-led and really bathed in prayer. Because we're really not interested in what seems good to man. We're interested in what God has for us. And I know we've talked about this the last several weeks. I know that people have been praying literally for years. But I just want to encourage you over the next several days that you once again would just go to the Father and be praying about what God has for us, for Renee and Sarah. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for us. It's a big deal for them. But we know who our Father is. We know that He has a plan, and His plan is perfect. And I want that plan. I don't want Aaron's plan. I don't want Renee's plan. I don't want Emily's plan. I don't want Sarah's plan. I don't want any. I want our Father's plan. And I'm so thankful that through prayer, God invites us to seek Him and seek that plan, knowing that He's going to bring it about. His plan, His will be accomplished. And we're so thankful for that. So Renee, Sarah, thank you so much for once again reminding us, not just about prayer, but really about our Jesus, about our Lord, about our Holy Spirit. Because through our prayer, we grow so much closer to them. And really, we need Jesus. And that's what we're doing. And so we're so thankful. So thank you for that. Again, we want to remind you that be praying over the next several days, through the week, that God will just lead us and guide us, and that we'll hear what God says, and then we'll obey it. So we're going to close in prayer, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, we love you, and we do thank you. God, we thank you for this morning and this time. We thank you for these unbelievably awesome young people that you have brought here to us to go on this journey. Thank you for their willingness to journey through this with us, because it's not easy. You kind of put through the ringer a little bit. You're asked a lot of questions. You're meeting a whole bunch of new people. It's not easy. And Father, they have done it with such grace and humility. And so we just pray blessing over their life. God, we pray that you would, as they're getting married here in just a couple of weeks, that Father, that the planning would go smoothly. And that Father, as they come together as one, that you would just bind them together. That you would make the two one in every aspect of their marriage and of their life and through their ministry. And that, Father, you would just speak so clearly to me, to the leadership, to them, about what God has for us and for them next. Because here's the thing, Father, we know no matter what it is, it's good. It's great. It's perfect. And we can rest in it. We love you. And we thank you for this time, for this morning, and for this opportunity to come together as a family once again, worship you, learn more about you, and be together. You're so awesome. And we love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Awesome. So, Ken, real quick, just so you remember, next week, picnic, okay? Picnic. And also, listen, we've been talking about prayer and how important it is. Also, maybe mention a couple things about, you know, I don't know, you know, hey, since we're praying, maybe 72? Hallelujah. Yeah. So, anyway, because it's a warm one out there today. So, anyway, make sure you remember that. If you have any questions on the picnic, please let me know. And again, if you haven't had an opportunity, please spend a little time getting to know Renee and Sarah. And again, thank you for being here this morning. For those that are online, we love you. We miss you. We hope that you're doing well wherever you are. And we hope you have a great week. We'll see you all soon.